Chapter 17.
What do you mean she's not answering?
Fash looked incredulous.
You're calling her cell, right? I know she's carrying it.
Collet had been trying to reach Sophie now for several minutes. Maybe her battery's outdead or her ringer's off. Fash had looked distressed ever since talking to the director of cryptology on the phone. After hanging up, he marched over to Collet and demanded he get Agent Neveu on the line. Now Collet had failed, and Fash was pacing like a caged lion.
Why did Crypto call?
Collet ventured. Fash turned.
To tell us they found no references to draconian devils and lame saints.
That's all?
No. Also to tell us that they had just identified the numerics as Fibonacci numbers, but they suspected the series was meaningless.
Collet was confused.
But they already sent Agent Neveu to tell us that.
Fash shook his head.
They didn't send Neveu.
What?
According to the director, at my orders, he paged his entire team to look at the images I'd wired him. When Agent Neveu arrived, she took one look at the photos of Sonnier and the code and left the office without a word. The director said he didn't question her behavior because she was understandably upset by the photos.
Upset? She's never seen a picture of a dead body?
Fash was silent a moment.
I was not aware of this, and it seems neither was the director until a co-worker informed him. But apparently, Sophie Neveu is Jacques Saunier's granddaughter.
Collet was speechless.
The director said she never once mentioned Saunier to him, and he assumed it was because she probably didn't want preferential treatment for having a famous grandfather.
No wonder she was upset by the pictures. Collet could barely conceive of the unfortunate coincidence that called in a young woman to decipher a code written by a dead family member. Still, her actions made no sense.
But she obviously recognized the numbers as the Fibonacci numbers because she came here and told us. I don't understand why she would leave the office without telling anyone she had figured out what the numbers were.
Collet could only think of one scenario to explain the troubling developments. Saunier had written a bogus numeric code on the floor in hopes Fash would involve cryptographers in the investigation, and therefore involve his own granddaughter. As for the rest of the message, was Saunier communicating in some way with his granddaughter? If so, what did the message tell her? And how did Langdon fit in? Before Collet could ponder it any further, the silence of the deserted museum was shattered by an alarm. The bell sounded like it was coming from inside the Grand Gallery.
Alarm!
One of the agents yelled, eyeing his feed from the Louvre Security Center.
Grand Gallery, toilette, messieurs.
Fash wheeled to Collet.
Where's Langdon?
Still in the men's room.
Collet pointed to the blinking red dot on his laptop schematic.
He must have broken the window.
Collet knew Langdon wouldn't get far. Although French ministry fire codes required windows above 15 meters in public buildings be breakable in case of fire, exiting a Louvre second-story window without the help of a hook and ladder would be suicide. Furthermore, there were no trees or grass on the western end of the Denon wing to cushion a fall. Directly beneath that restroom window, the two-lane Place du Carrousel ran within a few feet of the outer wall.
"My God!"
Collet exclaimed, eyeing the screen.
"Langdon's moving to the window ledge."
But Fash was already in motion. Yanking his Mannerin MR-93 revolver from his shoulder holster, the captain dashed out of the office. Collet watched the screen in bewilderment as the blinking dot arrived at the window ledge, and then did something utterly unexpected. The dot moved outside the perimeter of the building.
"What's going on?" he wondered. "Is Langdon out on a ledge, or—"
"Yes, you!"
Collet jumped to his feet as the dot shot farther outside the wall. The signal seemed to shudder for a moment, and then the blinking dot came to an abrupt stop about 10 yards outside the perimeter of the building. Fumbling with the controls, Collet called up a Paris street map and recalibrated the GPS. Zooming in, he could now see the exact location of the signal. It was no longer moving. It lay at a dead stop in the middle of Place du Carrousel. Langdon had jumped.